Blog Talk Radio.
If you find yourself in trouble, count on me, my friend. I'll get right up in trouble's face. You won't see him again. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, American.
Welcome to another exciting show with Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio. So turn up the volume and enter our chat room, or grab your phones. Call in and join the conversation. Help us to restore the republic to this country and inspire the majority to be silent no longer.
Well, look me straight in the eye. Tell me what you see. I'll tell the truth every time. Yes, you can count on me. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, 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 American.
Well, good afternoon to another exciting episode of Southern Sense here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Annie, the radio chick, your host, along with my co-host, Cool Mike. Good afternoon, Cool Mike.
Good afternoon, Miss Annie. You know that picture you put there for our show today? People going to think I'm some sort of charmer ladies' man.
Oh, I couldn't resist the picture. I'm sorry. The second I saw that, it looked like you were in the middle of some sort of a weird sexual act, and I just could not resist. I'm sorry.
No, I was actually checking out the girl in front of me, and then this girl from behind on the dance floor came up, and like somebody snapped the picture, and it was just like, dang. But anyway, well, here we are today, another episode of Southern Sense. We're gonna have ourselves a little roundtable discussion today.
Yep, yes we are. I'm waiting for our fellow BTR host to call in. And anyone that's in the chat room that does want to jump into the roundtable, the call-in number is 917-889-3675. But before we get started, I've got to do my local announcements. Well, they're not just local. Some of them are local.
What a surprise. We'll be back in a half hour giving her announcements.
Well, you know, you never know where one of these things is going to hit someone nearby, you know, where they live or whatever, or maybe, you know, something they can do to help another person across the country. You never know, you know.
Absolutely.
And one of these things is a shout out to my friend there, Rick Rosado, who's up in Myrtle Beach. He parked his tank in our chat room here just a little while ago. He's got a rhino hunt, and God bless, you know, I'm glad someone is going after these rhinos. We've got to kick them out. He's got a rhino hunt going on in just a couple of days on the 25th, this coming Saturday. And that's at 1 p.m. in Myrtle Beach next to the Air Force Base at the Veterans Cafe, 1144 Shine Avenue. Anyone wants more information on that, Rick is here in the chat room, Rick Rosado. You can message him Or you can go to www.rhinohunt.com. I'm going to put that up also in the chat room. That's www.rhino, R-I-N-O, hunt. Whoops, if my fingers can hit the right keys, .com. All right, so we got the Rhino Hunt coming up on Saturday, so you can talk to Rick about that. Coming up, my friend Emery McClendon, who is out in Fort Wayne, Indiana, he has an Occupy debate and forum coming on, and this is February 29th, not this Wednesday, next Wednesday, and that's going to be at 7 p.m. at the IPFW campus. Anyone that wants information at that, please contact Emery, and I'm going to put his website up also in the chat room because he's with RMAD, and it's ARMED.net. You can go to there to find out about this Occupy debate and forum, which is 7 p.m. February 29th in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And here is one thing that is extremely close to my heart. And anyone that harms a child, you know, me personally, I would say they deserve the death penalty. I may sound a little harsh, but anyone that does child abuse, that harms or even kills a child, they deserve to be locked up. The key deserves to be thrown away. I put this up in the chat room. I've spoken about this before. A little three-year-old, Deanna Hoggood, just before Christmas, her mother brutally beat her, she stabbed her, and then she tossed her off a third-story balcony of their apartment building. This child is currently undergoing rehab. She has to relearn how to walk and talk. Now, they are her godmother has taken the child in. She's going to be taking care of her, assuming all the medical bills and so on and so forth, but they need help with them. And anyone that's going through rehabilitation, especially you guys that are out there military, you know what you have to go through. And, you know, government's going to pay for your military rehab, and, you know, if you're on Medicare, Medicaid, it'll go just so far. But to go the extra mile, we need your help. So it's out there in the chat room. You can email Megan Piero at First Citizens Online. This is the bank that has the fund for Deanna Hoggood. If you contact them, you know, email me, Megan Piero at First Citizens Online. Tell them you want to donate to Deanna Hoggood. She will send you information on how to do that. Or you can call them directly. The number is also up in the chat room. It's 843-522-8088. She's a beautiful little girl, but she's got her life ahead of her knowing what her mother did to her. So please, please take 5 minutes, $5 out of your pocket, and please donate to this beautiful, beautiful little girl. Want to welcome everyone to the chat room. I mean, it's climbing. And we've got Dirty White Trash in there. We've got a ton of our guests joining us. And our favorite, you know, liberal progressive out there, I love this guy. I vote Obama. John, Marathon Pundit, is in there. We've got Mom, Mary, Malcolm X. Want to say hi? We got the two Ricks, Rick and Rick. And Tesla's in the house, as well as our friend Thomas, the invisible conservative. Thomas, I see you on the line. We'll pull you in a few moments. And I love this guy. I love this guy's screen name. You know, you got to admit it, Mike. He's got the best, I think, so far. White punk on dope.
Yeah. What if you apply for a job? Like, hey, let's get that one guy back in there. Let's email him. He's looking. He said, one guy, don't. Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Oh, man.
Well, going to solve the problems of the world today with the hosts of the BTR people. We got little surprises as we go along for them as well. Even surprises for you, Annie, that I didn't tell you about, but we'll make that. We'll let you know as we go along.
I got to apologize because I think my bronchitis decided to do like a little bit of a U-turn and kick me in the butt today. So I apologize if I'm coughing on the microphone. I'll try to limit that. One also, Sexy Sam has also joined us. Tesla, we invited him to join our round table. So if Tesla, if you can give us a call in, and a couple of other people I've invited, even if you're in the chat room and I didn't give you a personal invitation, pick up the phone, join our round table at 917-889-3675. Now, I came across this clip the other day, Mike, and I know you've got access to my audio clips, and you'll see it's one of the first ones I have up here, and it kind of like flat out floored me. Bonnie Frank, our favorite person over there, Bonnie Frank seems to feel the Tea Party is more successful and good than the Occupy. Can you believe that?
God. Oh, Jesus.
So
we,
I'm start
I
off.
This show. We are off and running. I thought Tesla would be getting us in trouble today, but right off the bat, it's the host.
Well, here we go. Barney Franks, I want to hear people to give me a little bit comment
Liberalism
on it.
Liberalism should present itself both substantively and politically. I think too many of my friends on the liberal side are into demonstrative politics, which makes people feel better but doesn't affect anything. You know, I would leave aside any other differences. The Tea Party has been much more effective than Occupy. The people in the Tea Party do a much better job of organizing to get their policy views made part of this process than the Occupy people. I think the Occupy people are doing more that makes them feel emotionally satisfied, but not as much to affect it. The second one I want to write history of.
Can you believe that? That they actually, they're willing to admit at this point in time that the Tea Party people are more effective than this Occupy movement. Now, why do you think that is, Mike? I forget who I'm talking to.
First and foremost, I don't want to draw as if the Occupy people are horrible, horrible type people. They believe in what their views are. Some of them do. Some of them are paid. But did you just bring Thomas on?
I was trying to, and Thomas has got some feedback on his line. So, Thomas, if you can, adjust your speaking microphone.
I think everybody has a right to assemble, as is our constitutional rights. But first and foremost, I think Tea Party individuals, I think they are better educated. And I mean this sincerely. If you were to get some of the idiots like from Red State standing on talking politics, get a Tea Party or these morons on the liberal side on BTR, you would find that the Tea Party person is not only not necessarily better educated with degrees, but they are more schooled on the political system, on the Republic, as well as the Constitution. Most of them are conservative financially, as well as conservative in the Christian sense that our founding fathers wrote about. That's one of the reasons. And number two is, as much as the media would like to, it's been 2 years now, they've been trying to downplay them as racist and every bad name you can think of, but the movement is rising. I mean, and clearly the unhappiness you're seeing from either candidates is becoming a larger movement, where the Tea Party is having a very significant effect now, probably a lot more in the GOP, but they are having an effect. They are becoming what used to be the big minority vote type, and they're growing.
That happens to be a very true story, and this is what I found very amazing. And Barney Frank, I think, has finally got it. They were dismissive of us because we worked within the system. Our protests and demonstrations, our rallies were all extremely peaceful. And I'm telling you, every single rally you went to, not a scrap of paper was left on the ground. And we knew the Constitution. We knew what laws and issues were out there. And we were informed about it. When they did the Occupy movement and mainstream media went, oh, this whole big love fest over them and everything else, and oh, these kids, that they're for the 99%. And, excuse me, what is the specific issue you wish to tackle? If you ask a Tea Party person, they will tell you, this is the issue. And in a straight, clear, and concise reasoning, they will tell you what the issue is. And they can say, all right, fine, I understand you're talking from this side, XYZ, but take that, and I'm going to explain to you why ABC makes more sense than XYZ. So we can not only turn around and explain why we're on our position, but we can counter their argument in a clear and concise and logical way, which is why mainstream media didn't want us, because they wanted sound bites. With Occupy, they got those great sound bites. You know, I want free education. All right, how are you going to produce that? How are you going to pay for that? And, you know, tell me why we should be going for this issue. In the other way, I can turn around and explain to you why I cannot provide you with free college education, why it is a privilege and not a right. They can't do that, and I think Barney Frank understands that. And he said it was a demonstrative movement, Occupy. Yeah.
Well, also,
great,
a lot of
TV.
Them were employed, too, Annie. Well, not employed. But a lot of the people you just described, they were getting compensated. So
yeah, we're being
were you yourself, it. when you had that first meeting ever down there in Buford, how many people attended? like in your, it was like at a coffee shop or in your living room? How many people were there?
All right, it was in front of the federal courthouse in downtown Beaufort. It was our first effort. We did it in 6 weeks. We put it together. It was only five of us that met in a living room. And within 6 weeks, we ended up with a crowd. We estimated of approximately 300 people.
There you go.
300 people.
How many of you got paychecks for doing that?
Not a single one of us. Not a single one. And matter of fact, we learned from that first one because everything came out of our own personal pockets. And we had learned from that very first one because people turned around and said, we know you paid for this out of your own pocket. Can I give you a check? We weren't looking for donations. We don't, because our group does not take donations. You know, we don't have anything with PayPal on our website or anything like that. We are completely, you know, we're just a group of friends, basically. We don't want the IRS looking over our shoulders, so we don't want to have a bank account. We don't need Big Brother looking over us, and that's how we do it. You got some of them that are 501c3s and whatever. We don't want to go through that hassle and headache. So when we did the first one, people were walking up to us and handing us money. And I said, well, we know you had to get a permit to get the park here in front of the courthouse. Oh, we know you had to get a permit to have the streets, you know, whatever. Whatever it was, they said, we know it came out of your pocket. We may have got maybe back 75% of what we laid out, but it's something we didn't expect. And that's the difference between the Tea Party and Occupy. Occupy has their handout saying, give me, give me, give me. We turn around and do it ourselves and don't worry about saying, give me, give me, give me. We see something has to be done. We're going to go and do it and worry about the cost later on. That's the difference.
Well, and also I think that with all due respect, I mean, I think a lot of these Occupy people have very good intentions, and I support some of the, as far as the sellout of this country. But in many, many ways, I think that if you were to compare the group that you had, of the small of 300 to the thousands, I think in a discussion or a debate, excuse me, not just only on the Constitution, but say a history class on life experiences. I just think that the smaller number of the Tea Party just is more eloquent and more understanding of how the foundation of this country was formed. I think many of the occupiers not only were paid, but many of them have been educated in a way to whereas history isn't really taught. Just the sacrifices from day one that the founding fathers, that many soldiers gave their life for in revolutionary wars and world wars, and even these so-called war on terrors, I think that there is a lot less. More about me, and there's a lot less understanding of just the tradition that the United States has done. We are the beacon of light on this planet, and I think for a lot of people in the Occupy, I think they tend to think that other countries are much just better places to live because they spend a lot more time comparing us. You had mentioned education. Several of them refer to this other country that has free education. Let me explain something to you, my friends. Whenever you hear free, such like as healthcare, if you think it's education and healthcare are expensive now, wait till it's free and see how much it costs us all. That's it.
Exactly. Now, I put up also another link in the chat room to Hillsdale College. Go to hillsdalecollege.edu. Hillsdale College is putting together, or has already, they already put it together. The first section of this thing is already out. It is Constitution 101. They're offering it for free if you cannot make a donation. And they ask that if you can, you know, whatever you can to help them offset the cost of this course, because they did this all on their own. Constitution 101, I started doing it last night, and it is fascinating, absolutely fascinating. Now, I'm a student of American Revolutionary History. I'm not a know-all or whatever. I got the basics, okay? I'm not Doc Jones with all the resources in front of me. But I do have certain books, like Louise and Louise and Brodus Mitchell wrote the book called The Biography of the Constitution. I got that book back in 1975, and whenever I want to look something up on the Constitution, I always refer back to this book. And this book is so dog-eared, the pages are starting to fall out. I carry in my purse, since 1976, the very same Constitution my social studies teacher gave me. And this is one of my things. They don't teach civics anymore. They don't teach true social studies. So if you really truly want to know the theory behind the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, you cannot teach the Constitution without teaching the Declaration of Independence. They are so interwoven, they have to go hand in hand. But if you want, take this course that comes out every Monday. I think it's for 8 weeks. I'm not sure. I could be wrong on that. And again, if you can't afford it, it is free. You just click off the little box and, yeah, I can't afford it. I cannot give you any donation this time. But they'll give you the course. They'll send you a little email every Monday saying it's ready. Go to hillsdalecollege.edu, sign in, and take the course. Before I watched all the videos explaining, it's like a four-part, the first introduction. I got through the first one and a half, and I actually fell asleep. Not because it was boring, but I was just that tired. I took the quiz. It was a 25-question quiz. I got 19 right without finishing the entire course. So it's just, you know, I'm pretty up on this. But I'm telling you,
I don't know what I would do. Man, 19? Holy Annie.
Well, what I got wrong was on the, not the Articles of Confederation, something about the Western Territory. There was some document made back in 1787 concerning the western area of the United States that was just opening up about its preservation and its rights and so on and so forth. I was not familiar with that document, so I did download it so I can read it and look at it. But Thomas has been sitting quite patiently, and let's bring Thomas in. Good afternoon, Thomas.
So, how are you?
All right.
So, anyway, I can't stay long, but I just want to take on the Occupy people. And I got to give Mike a hard time for a minute.
All right, I'm all ears, Thomas.
Okay. I don't know, even as someone as crazy and wild and fun like you, Mike, how can you give a bunch of idiots any credit when it has been proven that the vast majority of that movement was funded by Soros, unions, and so forth, this, that, and the other. Unlike the Tea Party, and maybe I'm wrong in my view, but any time you allow something that you say is a grassroots to be corrupted by an outside influence, then, in my opinion, and I'm stating this as my opinion, I'm not saying this is the end-all to be-all, but I believe that you lose all credibility whether you have a right message or not. And I feel the same way. I feel the same way about Ron Paul. But even though I researched and I know for a fact because of looking at his congressional record, he's not a conservative and he's extremely liberal. But anyway, that's a whole nother story. But anytime you talk about, okay, sound fiscal policy, and then in the moment you decide, but it's in the United States' best interest if we just lock ourselves inside our walls. And oh, by the way, it's fine that Iran gets a nuclear weapon. Israel, we don't need to be friends with Israel. They don't need our protection. When you have a good idea and then you take something so outlandish as to advocate for that kind of position, you just destroyed your entire credibility. And that's the way I look at it, because I have given over the years too many people the benefit of the doubt, you know, just based on things that they said, even if I felt like, okay, something's off on this, give them the benefit of the doubt, and ended up getting really, really hurt by it. So now it is time, not only must we call a spade, but when we call that spade a spade, we better play our full house, and we better put our foot down and do something about it and call these idiots out.
Well, hang on a second, Thomas. I understand what you're saying, and I agree with you. But George Soros didn't fund every one of these people. And the bottom line is that they have different political views, which are, some of them are extremely out to lunch. But some of the concerns that took place are big concerns, and that is the corporations getting constitutional rights and ruling basically over people continuously. And that is the Republican, that is the Republican way of the so-called, I don't know, they always say the 1%. We put labels on stuff. But the bottom line is some of the concerns there are very serious concerns. But sometimes it's almost like in a message. If it's being delivered with F words and this and that and this and that, or a lot of times when people are screaming, you don't quite get that message. You don't quite understand. The point is not well taken because the person didn't deliver it in the proper manner. So, yes, I mean, you cannot say 100% of them are paid by Soros and 100% of them are all out to lunch. There were other groups there as well, Thomas, that never got any media attention because basically the media tried to start the war between the Occupies and everyone else. The Tea Partiers were also involved in Occupy, but they never got any media time. And there were other groups as well, libertarian groups and other type of
But see, here's the thing, and like I said, I understand what you're saying, but here's the irony of it, and this is another place where they lose all credibility. They want to talk about attacking the corporations and this, that, and the other, and even the Occupy groups that was talked about Wall Street and this, that, and the other. Okay, if what you feel is so legitimate, why not a peep out of any of their mouths? And maybe I missed it, but I have not seen in any footage that I've seen of any of the Occupy groups, not one mention of the fact that on $40 billion in revenue last year or the year before, GE didn't pay a single dime in income taxes. So if you're going to make that argument about corporations, make sure the argument is straight across the board. Because, Mike, I don't take away from what you're saying, but this is where I draw the line. I don't like the speaking out of both sides of the head. If you're going to protest something, you better call everything out. And this, you know, like my show yesterday that I did, I call it No Longer Tolerating the Intolerable. I don't have no tolerance for people who speak out of both sides of their heads. If you have a legitimate concern, it address the whole thing, but don't throw, like you just said, you made up a good point. Okay, if it's wrong for me to throw 100% of the Occupy groups in one category, why is it okay for the Occupy groups and liberals and everybody else to demonize 100% of all corporations when there are corporations in this nation that are not getting the credit, who are phenomenal companies to work for, but they don't get the credit. They get lumped into the same categories. That's all I'm talking about, the double standards.
Well, that's the problem with mainstream media. They do adhere to a double standard, and they hold us, the conservatives, the Tea Party people, the constitutionalists, they hold us to a much higher standard that they themselves will not adhere to.
Exactly.
All right, we got another caller on the line, and I do believe this might be Doc Jones. Is this Doc Jones?
Yeah, it's me. Let me turn the computer down here so I can get
Doctor's in the house.
Yeah. Hey,
well,
how
welcome.
You doing, Southern?
Welcome to our round table, and anyone else that does want to jump into the round table, and we've got several hosts in here that I've personally invited. The number is 917-889-3675, so let's get this round table going. Doc Jones, what's your take on this with the Occupy Barney Frank admitting that the Tea Party is much more effective?
Well, of course, you know, every once in a while you got to go ahead and put it out there so – you have at least a modicum of credibility when you say really stupid, crazy things like he often does. Of course the Tea Party is much more effective. You know, I was listening to Ann Coulter's audio book, How to Talk to a Liberal If You Must, and she points out that for the most part, you know, liberals will shout at you, and they'll shout slogans like Bush lied, kids died, that kind of thing. Getting having a civil discourse, as you point out in your chat room here, I love the fact that you keep a nice ship here. Tesla has accused me of not keeping such a tight ship, and of course I will take his recommendations to heart on my show, and I'll put something up there similar to what you just wrote. But the point is, liberals don't like to argue because for them, arguing, the facts need to be involved. And when we see the Occupy movement, we see just a bunch of folks shouting. They're not using facts. There's no record involved. There's very little civility there. There is a lack of knowledge base, whereas Republicans, conservatives, Tea Party members, we say one thing. It's the facts. We don't engage in vitriolic language for the most part. We don't indulge in crass behavior. It's saying, okay, we want less taxes. We want less government intrusion. And whatever it takes to get to that point, using the ballot box, that's the way we're going to go. And it's a very civil American way of handling things, not taking a dump on a police car or smoking weed or doing all kinds of really crazy things, because you know it doesn't you don't win friends and influence people behaving that way.
No.
And so when Barney Frank comes out and states the obvious truth, well, you know, what else could he do? You know,
that's absolutely true.
Yeah.
All right. For a little feedback, Tesla, what's your take?
Well, you know, I don't think there's any question that there's one thing. See, what we're forgetting about is Barney is not coming back to the House of Representatives. Now, would he have said the same thing if he was running for reelection? I don't think so.
Oh, good.
He would have been his obstinate self. He never would have given any credit to the Tea Party whatsoever. He would have been just like a Nancy Pelosi. But now that he's not running again, well, he can be a little bit more. He can be more honest. Go ahead.
I think that's absolutely cool, Mike. What's your take on that? I think Tesla just nailed it because he's not being reelected. He can now say something that goes completely against his party.
Well, and Tesla is right, and we've seen that numerous times with people making their exit. We tend to forget that. I think that Tesla is probably the only one here that remembered Barney Frank was bidding farewell. And people will remember Barney Frank for that line more than the last, say, 20 years or however long this guy has been in office. And the damage that this individual has caused. But it's very true. If you really think about it, Bill Clinton, when he made his exit, was scandaled a lot by Monica. But it also really hurt him because of a lot of the pardons that he did. And Ronald Reagan didn't pardon Ollie North. Just different type of things. People make their exit in different way. But I think Tesler hit the nail on the head. I think there's a plan in place here, and that's why Barney Frank brought this up. Because he could have brought this up a month ago, 5 months ago, 5 years ago. But he didn't.
Very interesting. All right, I want to move on to another thing. And this is something that I caught. I don't know how many people may have caught this or not. Now, remember when we had the whole thing with the underwear bomber, the shoe bomber, and so on and so forth, and they finally allowed the pilots to carry guns, all right? And that was a hard fight. Now, what people don't realize is that these pilots actually pay out of pocket for their training, for their firearms and everything. It only cost us, the taxpayer, just $15 a pilot. That's it. Everything else, these pilots bear on their own. Now, Janet Napolitano, this past week, was testifying yesterday, and I'm trying to think. I think it was in the Department of it was in the House. Okay, yeah. It was the House Homeland Security Committee. She was testifying before. And she was being questioned by Chip Kravac. He's a Republican out of Minnesota. Now, he was also a former commercial airline pilot and a federal flight deck officer. So if anyone knows anything about this program, about the pilots carrying guns, this representative does. Now, I'm going to play a clip from her, and this is the questioning that he was doing in reference to it. Let me bring this up.
The gentleman from Minnesota, Mr. Kravac, the author of the bill.
Recognizes 5 minutes. Thank you. And again, I've got a great staff, and so they were essential in completing that.
Sure, no one doubts that.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. thank you, Madam Secretary, for being here today. The President's budget cuts the federal flight deck officer program from $25 million down to $12.5 million. This is approximately a 50% decrease. This program comprised volunteers who ultimately pay more out of their pockets than it actually costs for them to be an FFDO to protect our nation. In fact, to provide the protection for each flight deck officer, for each FFDO flight costs the nation $15. That's how effective, efficient the federal flight deck program is. I have to believe that it is probably one of the most cost-effective programs in the United States government. These guys basically volunteer their time and money to be a vital deterrent to our country. Quite frankly, they're the last line of defense when it comes to air piracy in this for flying. My question would be, what would you what prompted, did you make this cut, or did it come from the president, or where did this come from?
I think the reduction for the Federal Flight Deck Officer Program is predicated on the fact that the program is not risk-based. And you will have an FFDO, just, you know, whether somebody is on a flight or not. And we are moving in the TSA to risk-based systems, and those are the ones that we're going to put money into.
I fully agree with risk-based system, but I also fully believe a $15 federal flight deck officer as the last line of defense on an aircraft is absolutely essential. Would you agree that the federal flight deck officer would be the last line of defense?
I think,
on an aircraft?
Well, there are many layers of defense,
yes,
beginning,
ma'am,
before people even get their ticket. And one of the things I continue to emphasize is, you know, the checkpoint at the gate, which has caused some concern, is only one of other many layers. So there's a lot of things. The FFDOs have been useful. That's true. I don't know about the $15 figure, but it is a program, as we look around the universe of things that we want to do in the aviation environment. Like I said before, given we have to find places to cut, that was one of them, because it's not risk-based, that was put on the table.
Yes, ma'am, I fully understand risk-based. But again, I'll ask you the question. Is a federal flight deck officer the last line of defense for our traveling public?
I think the armed cockpit door probably is.
Speaking as a 17-year pilot, ma'am, and also as a federal flight deck officer, I know about the cockpit door. And I will tell you, ma'am, speaking from the position I've flown as a pilot and also as a federal flight deck officer, you may think that the flight deck door is the last line of defense, but it's that armed pilot in the cockpit that will be the last line of defense. Thank you for your comments, though. Is your intention that this program be phased out?
I think, as the budget request shows, it's our intention to reduce it, yes. But not, we have not predicted its demise. We just think that we can do it with less.
Let me expound upon that. What kind of message do you think it sends to pilots who are willing to join this program on their own dime, take personal vacations, days off at work, pay for their own lodging to train for the privilege and the honor of protecting their fellow citizens? How do you think it's going to affect that program?
Representative, obviously in a difficult budget, we had to make difficult decisions, and this was one.
Again, ma'am, going for the last line of defense for the most efficient program, I think probably that you have in protecting the traveling public, I would strongly encourage you to reevaluate that position. Also, it's come to my attention relatively recently, in line with the President's budget request, NORAD has proposed two 24-hour airspace control alert sites, Duluth and Langley, to be eliminated. The 148th Bulldogs out of Duluth were chosen to be an active association, actually, where the active duty combines with the Air National Guard there. And now they're pulling a vital mission from these two fighter wings. How is this going to affect you in responding to threats? Because after 9/11, these guys were flying 24/7. And it's not only they protect the northern sector of the United States; they deploy in a lot of different places. And I see my time has expired, but can you just comment on that real quickly?
Right. There are several other similar type things around, particularly the northern border. But they have in the announcement done is that those operations can be covered from a consolidated center elsewhere.
Okay. Thank you, Ms.
Now, isn't this interesting? You know, they're going to cut back the program after they've had several recent incidents. They're going to cut back on the military that can intercept the flights that are in trouble, all underneath this RAC closures. And now they're going to put our passengers back at risk. And what are they going to do to counter this? They're going to take Granny in the wheelchair and they'll strip search her. Oh, go ahead, Cool Mike.
I think this is exactly why this type of the safety and transportation in the airplane should not be left up to government. And this is why it's up to the airlines to really protect the passengers. This is why, when it comes to virtually everything, government never, ever, 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 under any circumstances, ever does anything correctly. We're talking virtually 100% of the time they screw it up. And here's another perfect example. This stupid broad is trying to tell a pilot. I mean, you know, there used to be this guy. He was a World War II veteran. And he was in active combat in many, many places. And I was, like, at the time, I think, in the second grade. I was just a kid, and I used to love to sit with him and talk about the stories. I was telling him about, I think, the Battle of Guadalcanal, or one of the stories we had heard in school. And he was saying, correcting me on some things, and I'm like, no, you see, you don't understand. This is what happened. And he was like, yeah, it did, but you got to understand. He goes, they were really tough fighters. We didn't just kill them all, like, it wasn't just that simple. I'm like, yeah, it was. I read about it. Yeah, that's exactly what this story is, where just as a kid, I'm and having no clue that this person was there and fought in the combat, to whereas it is almost embarrassing when it almost seems like we're driving around in a truck and picking stragglers off the street and saying, do you want to be a head of a department or a secretary of something in this country?
No, that's absolutely true. It's a total disconnect with the flying public. You know, here they are, these government officials, and you know they're hopping private planes, they're hopping, you know, certain charters or whatever. They're not getting into economy class on an airplane. And even if they do fly a commercial flight, it is first class, so they're not going through the regular security that we are. But no, they will turn around and deny Rand Paul getting on an airplane. And they will take a senator from Massachusetts who just had a hip replacement and strip search him. But if you are one of Obama's minions, you are one of the elite, and you have a complete disconnect with the traveling public. Now, Doc Jones, you're someone who travels back and forth all the time. What's your take on this?
Well, Southern, you know, I don't fly very much anymore. And it's not so much related to the TSA and all that, but I carry around a lot of stuff, a lot of electronics, a lot of gadgets and stuff. And, you know, to pack and unpack all that stuff and let them go through is just a big hassle for me. So I don't fly very much anymore. But, you know, I think that this is what occurs it's what we should expect when a Democrat is elected president and he puts his people in charge. Democrats are overbearing in the negative. You know, it's not about the protection of the American people. It's about the protection of the American people for these guys. They want to protect us from ourselves, thinking that they're protecting us, period. You know, for them, a pilot having a gun in the cockpit is tantamount to, well, we don't want a pilot to shoot another pilot, you know, or to shoot a passenger. So we'd rather the pilot be defenseless and everybody on board be defenseless, and then we'll go ahead and we'll take good care of you. We'll look after you. Let us do these things. No. We demand that we have responsibility to do these things. We'll look after you. We'll take care of you. Don't take care of yourselves because you don't know how. You can't take care of yourself. You've never been taught. You've never been trained. Let us do that. We'll do that. That's our responsibility, to look after you. And
I can,
you know what? I know you can look after yourself, but we won't let you.
I think you're right. Now, Thomas wants to make a comment. Thomas, pop in.
Hey, Annie. You know what? These liberals, the Obama administration, they're living in this place of where they feel like they're invincible. But I'm gonna do something really strange on your show.
No, you wouldn't do something strange, would you?
Yeah, of course I would. I'm gonna get prophetic for a minute. Or for those who don't know what that word means, I'll use the liberal term for the word, clairvoyant. And I'm going to say this. The liberals have done so much to bring down, to dismantle this country, you know, from our, you know, at our faith level to things going on in the natural. But I'm going to tell you this, and I'm not going to go into the whole other aspect of this because you'll have to listen to my show sometime when I talk about these things. But I will say this, what they're doing is going to backfire on them to the point where there's going to be a situation that's going to be so stunning. Not only is it going to expose, but it's going to jolt the American people to the point where you will literally see liberals turning on the administration, and it's coming. You mark my words, because people are getting tired. And the other element, though, that's at work here, which unfortunately, as we know, most Americans don't even acknowledge the existence of, evil, good and evil, is those are two real forces. And that's what's going on here. But what has been allowed to happen for too long is that the forces of evil has been allowed to run rampant for like the last 7 or 8 decades. But now
I think you have a lot of that on the head, right? You know, something is boiling. Something is going to happen here within the United States, and something's going to blow, and I think it's going to happen before this election. You know,
that's
Tesla,
my point.
Now, Tesla, you just traveled back and forth to Vietnam to visit your wife, and you had the most recent, I would say, probably amongst all of us, that with flight and handling. You know, how do you feel about, you know, Janet Napolitano and the Obama administration wanting to cut back on this this program? Now, Mike made the point also, which I agree with. TSA searches should go out the window, and airlines should be in charge of their own security. You know, take it away from government completely. What's your take, Tesla?
Okay, first of all, let's not completely blame Barack Obama for this. You had a Republican administration prior to that that helped to put this in place as well under something called the Patriot Act. Remember him?
Now, oh, yeah.
Under both Bush and Obama, you got Republicans or liberals or Democrats, whatever you want to call it, who are immersed in the system. And they have no real intent of making this system work correctly. Now, I was lucky when I did travel, when I was able to travel many months ago, that it was unbelievable. Anybody can get through. Now, why don't we use the Israeli system? You know, they pull people off the side. They have psychologists and experts who can look at these people. And however they do it, I don't know, but they can determine that someone could be seriously a suspect. And they don't let them on. Okay? And the rest, you get right on. Now, that's the system that we should have, right there. That's the kind of system that we should have. But why don't we have this kind of system? Well, you've got unions you have to deal with, of course. You've got a lot of money. Look, they want to give the pilots a few bucks. Fine, give the pilots a few bucks. The real answer lies in the system itself, created by Bush and made worse by the Barack Obama administration. It is real conservatives who don't like either one of those administrations. If the Republicans still blame Obama, the fact of the matter is Bush is as much to blame for all this crap. Go ahead.
Now, I think Cool Mike is going to definitely agree with you, and I do not support the Patriot Act. You know, they had good intentions, but it was done all wrong. So you've got two wrongs. You've got the Bush and Obama administration. Cool Mike, I know you're waiting to give a whole full vent.
As we say in the Catholic faith, Tesler, amen.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
You know, but I have to say, I'm very disappointed in that the recent clip I've heard from Tesler. Annie, have you heard it?
No.
Tesler, you know you're my friend, but, man, this time – just gone too far. Listen to this.
Oh, no.
Diane, get down. Look what a mess you made, lapdog.
Oh, hello. Looking to clean up the political mess that your lapdogs and rhinos have made?
Well, look no further than Tesler's Weekend Roundup.
Only on Blog Talk Radio.
Wow. Tesler.
What was that?
Tesler, you know, here's Tesler, the innocent right here. Like the 12-year-old getting caught. Where'd you go? Oh, Mom, we went to the movies. Where did this come from? Must have just fallen from the sky. Who knows, Doc? Must have just fallen from the sky.
Oh, you're so mean. You are so mean.
Listen to the Weekend Roundup if you want to clean up the political mess.
That was cute.
That was real cute.
I like that. That was cute.
Well, you know, there's an old saying, the meat shall inherit the earth. Bullshit. Fight fire with fire, I always say.
That's exactly right.
All right, Thomas had to leave because he's got classes or whatever. But don't forget, Thomas has a show on tonight. The Invisible Conservative will be on, I believe, 5 p.m., he's saying, in the chat room, which will be 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I want to remind everyone, you're listening here to Southern Sense here on Blog Talk Radio. This is our roundtable. Our calling guest is Doc Jones and Tesler. My co-host Cool Mike is with me. The phone lines are open, so anyone else that wants to join in on the roundtable, we've got the Marathon Pundit John out there. Give a call in. We've got Antoinette. We've got a lot of great people out in the chat room, Sexy Sandy, Sammy, and our friend White Punk on Dope. And, of course, I Vote Obama. If you want to call in, we'll accept your side. Just expect us to argue back. And here, I want to give a little bit of a PSA here, and if I can find – what the heck did I just do with it? Oh, here we go. And here we go. Come on, hit play. Here we go.
David Graham hosts Stay Mad Radio, Tuesday and Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. David Graham is a patriot who speaks about communism, cultural Marxism, Alinsky, and Islam. Also find very interesting guests, including former CIA agents, authors, and friends.
Reza, thank you very, very much for contacting us and agreeing to join us here on Stay Mad Radio.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
I appreciate it. And as promised, with me on the line is our guest, Charles Faddis. Open your mic right now. Charles, welcome back to Stay Mad Radio. How are you, sir?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me back.
No, that's my pleasure. Our pleasure.
I'm gonna break right into bringing him right on. Usama, thank you for joining me here on Stay Mad Radio. I really appreciate it.
Well, it's my joy to be with you, brother, and I hope and I pray that the Lord will use it tonight.
Her name is Janie Johnson. She wrote the book, Don't Take My Lemonade Stand. How are you today, Janie?
I'm doing great, David. How are you?
I'm fine. I think this is her now. Is this Addie?
Hello. I am here. I'm listening.
How are you? Very, very nice to speak with you finally.
Yeah, it surely is.
So catch this and much more exciting content on Stay Mad Radio, Tuesday and Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern.
You can't handle the truth.
24/7 Internet Talk Radio. Socialism is not an option.
Vote with the candidate that most closely comes to your world views, whatever those may be.
Oh, you got a great show.
Thank you.
I'm impressed with your callers and Dave and everyone on that show. It's just a great show. You're very well informed. It's run like a tight ship. It's very good.
I'm sorry for those who you know who support that lifestyle.
Right.
But it's impossible. We've said this before. It's impossible to
right.
be a true conservative and gay. It's
so,
just impossible.
Heaven help you guys if the Republicans actually win in 2012, because I'll be gunning for those so-called folks. I'm sorry, did I speak clearly enough for this?
Friday evening, I had the opportunity to appear on Tesler's program. Tesler hosts three different programs, and I appeared on the Friday Night Roundtable program, which was sort of the less serious. He's got some, but I was on the Friday Night Show, which allowed me to riff on top.
Well, I want to thank you so much for having me on. You have a rocking program.
Thank you.
This has been very energetic, and getting the message out is the most important thing. Do not ignore this show. Tesler, you got a fantastic show, and I just want to say God bless America. We got a lot of work ahead of us.
Stop, because I obviously, I'm very conservative. I'm not religious orientated. Believe me, people who know me know that if I went into a church, it would probably
burst into flames.
Probably.
Oh, geez, Ski and David, thank you. I love you. Kisses, kisses, kisses.
Oh, boy. Okay. Oh, man, I don't want to go there. Good night, and God bless.
Socialism is not an option. WWWDB. 24/7 Internet Talk Radio.
Please join Doc Jones as he kicks off primetime with the Sit Rep. Weekdays from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern, Dr. C. Robert Jones is a retired Marine officer with a PhD in history, and he keeps up with the day-to-day events and analyzes and explains with historical facts and in an informed opinion. Gojo Media is dynamic and fresh. So please catch The Situation Report every weeknight at 8 p.m. Eastern Time.
People come to Internet radio for any number of reasons. Among the reasons are perhaps they're tired of the pasteurized, homogenized news that they get from their TV. Or some may want their talk radio a little more raw. Well, that's what you get with Internet Talk Radio. Real people with real opinions that give you real conversation. It's not your daddy's talk radio. And it's for people who stay informed and a great way to share ideas and debate issues. Well, let's just say that Internet Talk Radio hosts don't sit in front of the makeup mirror before they go on the air. Internet Talk Radio is a fast-growing new media that allows folks to get around the dinosaur media.
A real conservative knows Southern sense when he hears it. Listen to Annie, the radio chick in South Carolina, on Blog Talk Radio every Tuesday and Friday. Annie is co-founder and webmaster of the Buford, South Carolina Tea Party, and she doesn't put up with those brainless northern liberals. Get your full dose of Southern sense every Tuesday and Friday on Blog Talk Radio. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/southern-sense for some real old-fashioned Southern sense with Annie.
Well, welcome back here to Southern Sense here on DTR. We're now into our second hour of the show. This is our round table with my co-host, Cool Mike. We've got call-in guests on the line, Tesler, Socialism is Not an Option. We've got Dr. Jones. Dr. Jones is in the house. And Antoinette is now joining us. I'm going to move on to a new subject, and we're going to be talking about Big Brother. Now, recently, a bunch of things have been going on. The FBI has come out with a new list of actions that may label you as a terrorist. We've got the Obama administration sending out truth teams. Media Matters has now been making new attacks on conservatives, especially Fox News. And we also have a new Air Force Lieutenant General under attack for God. Let me play this little clip here about Big Brother watching. This is from Political News Video.
Oh, Big Brother. Lawmakers today looking into a Homeland Security plan to monitor what you post on Facebook, what you tweet, and what you do on other social media sites, because they have nothing better to do. The feds say that will help protect people and predict potential threats here at home and overseas. According to online requests from law enforcement and intelligence agencies, they're after software that can sift through billions of posts and weed out buzzwords and patterns. The FBI claims that could help prevent terror attacks here in the United States, and it could help track foreign uprisings like the Arab Spring. Catherine Harris is live in D.C. Of course, this raises very familiar questions with very familiar answers about privacy versus security.
Well, it does, Shep. In addition to a controversial Homeland Security program, the FBI quietly released these documents on the web. The Bureau is trying to develop what amounts to a law enforcement app based on data pulled from these social networking sites. The FBI says the program should have the ability, quote, to quickly vet, identify, and geolocate breaking events, incidents, and emerging threats. A former advisor on Homeland Security under the Bush administration says the new social network raises all kinds of questions.
We've got to figure what is the right balance between privacy and security. And I'm not sure we as a country have really addressed that question. When you're dealing with known foreign terrorist organizations and known jihadi sympathizers and known terrorists, to me that's a cut and dry kind of case.
According to the ACLU, who reviewed the FBI documents for Fox, information pulled from sites like Facebook, Twitter, and the blogs could be cross-referenced with other databases to identify potential threats, even individuals, and that information could lead to more video surveillance in your neighborhood.
Even where you're talking about published information, you know, information people intentionally put out there on the internet, we still have a right not to have that monitored by the government. You know, the government really doesn't have any interest in tracking somebody's Twitter account if they're not really doing something wrong or suspected of doing something wrong.
We asked Facebook and Twitter for comment. We wanted to know whether they would support the FBI program or opt out. We only heard back from Facebook. They thanked us for the question, but they had nothing to add, Shep.
Catherine Harridge in Washington. Catherine, thanks. Say what you will about...
Isn't that not scary, Cool Mike?
Certainly is. Hang on for 8 seconds. I'm going to play something real quick.
Okay, great.
Hi, I'm Chelsea.
And I'm Sam from Playboy Energy.
You're listening to Annie and Cool Mike.
Only on Blog Talk Radio.
There we go.
My Playboy bunnies?
Possibly. I don't know how they even knew about Tesla. I think Tesla was there. He just didn't tell me. But, you know, this is scary. Why the hell? Here it is. They're on the – you know, the Internet has thrived now going on for about 12 years or so. Maybe even more. I don't remember exactly. But no, like 17
A lot
years.
More than that.
Okay, but the Internet as we know it, okay? Say when Windows 95 came out or whatever. But the bottom line is it thrives and it's done well because government has keeping its nose out of it. Now they're doing everything. Now they're arresting people, so-called just whatever. The internet has nothing to do. This is the Stamp Act. This is everything that they have no business in any way, shape, or form. I don't care if it's MySpace or Facebook. All this, oh, they're plotting this and they're plotting, oh, please. I mean, no. We are spending $40 billion a year while all this was going on, and they couldn't stop 9/11, but now all of a sudden they need a new department and more rights, more things on the internet to protect us, please. These people are about as they're about as competent to protect us as they're not. It's that simple.
No, they're not. They're not. And on top of which, Google has had several apps that they claim that they've disconnected or whatever that actually track your movement. They track what websites you're surfing at. What are your searches? And if anyone has an iPhone, iPad, Android, or whatever, you got a BlackBerry, if you've got Google on it, I'm telling you right now, just stop the apps. Because I did that the other day. I went in there, and you cannot, on a lot of these phones, completely erase them off your phones, but you can force stop them, and I've done it. And I'm not going to do any more searches on my iPhone, that's for sure. I'll go on the internet, and I'll use Yahoo, because Yahoo, after 1 or 2 weeks, I think, just throws the search out, and they don't keep them. And I think they're the shortest of all the search engines. That's, I've put everything now Yahoo on my bar rather than having Google. You know, Tesla, what's your take on this?
Okay, here's what people really, really have to begin to understand. And this is based on a show that I did just last Saturday. First of all, you have no constitutional right to privacy, period. End of story. Okay, I reviewed that over my show on Saturday. You don't have it. I hate to say it. Do we have aspects of privacy? Yes, we do. Okay, but an absolute constitutional right to privacy does not exist in this country, folks. Now, I'm not going to argue whether it should or shouldn't, but I'm saying that is the fact right now. Now, let's take a look at one other thing. When you say, well, you know, the government it's spying on me on Facebook and all that stuff. Oh, really? What is it that you don't tell Facebook? I mean, many people today, especially younger people, they tell more stuff on Facebook than they tell their own parents. And now you're worried that the government is spying on you?
Well,
if you don't want the government to spy on you on Facebook and those other places, write things on Facebook, folks.
Well, Tesla, I don't think that's the problem. That's not the problem. The problem is the new FBI list that came out and saying that when they do these searches, they're going to look for the following things. Now, catch some of the following things they're going to look for. They're looking out for anyone that speaks out against government policies. Now, here, this show is a perfect example, right here. If you protest anything, Tea Party, that's another example. If you question the war, even if the war reduces our national security, they will be looking at you. If you criticize the government's targeting of innocent citizens with drones, you mean Afghanistan and so forth, Pakistan, they're going to be looking at you. If you ask questions about pollution, even at a public congressional hearing, they will be looking at you. If you are paying cash at an internet cafe, they will be looking at you. If you ask questions about Wall Street and their dealings with the government or anything, they will be looking at you. If you purchase and hold gold, they will be looking at you. If you are looking at creating alternative currencies, like some of us want government to be backed by the gold standard again, they will be looking at me. If you are selling stocks, if you're stocking up on food. Now, I do my own jarring and canning, so yes, I'm going to be stocking up on food. You know, so normally I have more than 7 days' worth of food in my home. You really should. They're going to be looking at you. If you are investigating factory farming, you know, these places that have these chickens all in these crates and one on top of the other, and you're saying, hey, listen, this is not exactly the way I want to see the chicken I eat being raised, they're going to be looking at you. If you complain about an infringement of copyright, or if you're taking pictures or videos, if you say you value your online privacy, if you support Ron Paul, if you say you like the founding fathers, there is a five-page list here. If you say you're a Christian, they're looking at you. This is what we're talking about. It's not an invasion of your privacy if they look at your Facebook page or your Twitter things. But if you do everything that any normal American would do, you are now a threat to national security.
Okay, two things. Number one, Does anybody remember the name J. Edgar Hoover? Ladies and gentlemen, the government has been doing this for 50 years. This is not new. Now, I'm not excusing it. I'm not saying it's correct. But, folks, they didn't have the technology 50 years ago to do this, but they do now. And, again, I go, and in light of that, this thing that the government wants to do with us, it's nothing new. Remember, we don't have good administrations. I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat. They're all the same. Okay, they're not really conservatives. So when you talk about Obama doing this and you talk about Bush wanting to do this or Mitt Romney want to do this, are you surprised? No. And again, I want to point out, this is terrible, but we don't have a codified way of being able to safeguard our privacy. We don't. And unfortunately, until that's addressed, I'm afraid the government is going to continue to do exactly what it's been doing since the days of J. Edgar Hoover. Go ahead.
Well, to me, this is a smacking of, I'm sorry, I'm going to say it, Nazi Germany. And our administration is actually starting to behave like that. I want Doc Jones to weigh in on this one, and then we're going to go to Antoinette and come back to Mike. Doc Jones?
Yeah, I'm here. I muted myself. You know, Tesler's right, at least to a certain extent. J. Edgar Hoover did what he could with the very limited technology he had, mostly people in shoe leather, you know, doing their thing, going door to door, which wasn't very effective for the time. So Hoover's data collecting was limited, to be fair. This is what happens. I mean, we shouldn't expect anything different. The world that we live in now, disasters happen to us. They happen to us all, no matter what we do. Tragedies are brought upon ourselves by hubris, and that's the situation that we find ourselves in now. You know, back in the old days, in the 70s, in the 60s, in the 50s, we had serial killers. We had people that would go around killing a whole bunch of people. But back then, it wasn't something that, you know, it didn't stop our parents from getting together in a supermarket and exchanging phone numbers and, you know, visiting each other's houses and all that. It didn't hamper our ability to move around. Think about Pearl Harbor. When the event occurred at Pearl Harbor and we were caught basically with our pants down, our trousers down, for those of us who wear trousers, think about that. And think about now 9/11. When Pearl Harbor occurred, after the aftermath of Pearl Harbor, we barely noticed any changes in the way the military operated and how they protected us and how they protected themselves from that ever occurring again. Not much is known about the policies that were put in place to prevent something like that from ever happening again, but they were put in place very quietly, very discreetly. Nobody went overboard. Now it's just like being on the playground. We can no longer play dodgeball or any of those games where somebody might get hurt. We've taken our safety, this issue of safety, to an extreme that is never before seen in this country or on this planet. We have decided that we are no longer going to, you know, trust our safety to chance, that every little thing we do now has to be protected. And the government has decided that data collecting is going to be a big part of that in order for them to safeguard us from ourselves. It reminds me a lot of one of my favorite television shows, Person of Interest. You know, where there's a machine out there, a computer that monitors all our activities. We see on Facebook, you know, a lot of stuff I put out there, where I am at any given time. If you look at my Facebook page, sometimes you'll see I'm at Quantico at the Marine Base. Sometimes you'll see I'm in D.C. I'll put it out there myself. But you know, I'm sure that there are people out there who know where I am and can find me whenever they need to find me, if I decide to let them. But it's gotten to the point where it's all about they want to do these things for our safety, for our protection. Where have we heard this before? Nazi Germany. Nazi
yep.
Germany. We've heard it with Stalin. We've heard it with Mussolini. All of those folks were doing things for our protection, for our sake. What did Obama say when he cast aspersions on the Constitution not so long ago? That the government, the Constitution says what the government can't do to you, but not what the government can do on your behalf. And he stated that the document is a document of negative liberty, of negative. What Obama wants to do, what liberals want to do, is act on our behalf, like some all-knowing, all-seeing father, like our God. I will protect you. What did he say at Osawatomie, Kansas? I don't want people going out on their own. I don't want every man for themselves. I want to do things for you. I want the government to be your father.
You said something really, really poignant, and I've been saying this since day one, that government wants to supplant our religious faith and make government God. And
yes.
Once we worship at the altar of government, we are 100% dependent upon government. So we now have politicians for the rest of our lives who will then turn around and mandate us via methods of 1984, Orwell's book, I'm quoting, they will be Big Brother. Not just Big Brother, but our God.
And
that's
Doc,
also
is a historian. Oh, sorry, Annie. As a historian,
no, also
Doc, didn't Hitler, when he went into Poland, it was like he said he wanted to protect them or something?
Yes, he wanted to protect Poland. He wanted to act as their beneficiary. You know, we've seen a lot of these things before. You know, I was reading, not reading, I drive a lot and I take a lot of road trips. A lot of you guys know that, back and forth, D.C., Virginia, Georgia, Florida, all of that. I was listening to an audiobook titled FDR's Folly, and it speaks about the book speaks to the Great Depression and how the Great Depression was a small event that was turned into a much larger event because of government intrusion. Government getting involved, and FDR taking control and taking charge of everything because he was doing it, he said, for the protection of the American people. And he wound up making the Great Depression worse and lasting far longer than it needed to. And as it relates to President Obama, I think maybe I'm getting off topic here just a little bit, but as it relates to President Obama, I don't think people are going to find him as destructive as we might think at this time. Remember, those of us who are not as well-educated on the Great Depression believe that FDR saved America. I did. I believed it. I looked up, you know, for a while, FDR was my favorite president until I actually gained knowledge into what it was he actually did instead of the sound bites and the talking points. You know, the government, I can't overstress this enough, and you all are talking about it, so it's not being overstressed. The government wants to control us. No more. In terms of, you know, I don't agree with Tesla when he says that we're all the same, that government's all the same. No one would say that Ronald Reagan was anything like Jimmy Carter or FDR or, you know, or Bill Clinton or George Bush. They're not all the same. There are true conservatives out there. And Ronald Reagan was a true conservative. The point is, what we need to do is come to our senses, get right. get these guys out of office because, you know, we don't want to be controlled. We're hardwired for freedom. We're not like those countries in Europe where we are bred to be sheep.
Now, you've said something again that really hit it on the head, and I'm going to tell people, I put the link up in the chat room earlier. I'll put it back up again. Go to Hillsdale College. They've got this free course on the Constitution, and it's linked to the Declaration of Independence. So go to hillsdalecollege.edu. The first part of the course was put out yesterday. Take it and learn exactly what your God-given rights are and what government has been doing to take them away. And Antoinette has been waiting patiently. Antoinette, what's your take on this?
Well, first, can I say one thing? Your link doesn't work. Your link doesn't work, Annie.
It doesn't?
I just clicked on it. Mm-mm.
Sorry,
and it doesn't work. Oh, that's okay. Well, my question is, or my statement, is that, all right, under Bush, the Patriot Act started. Now, with Obama, we thought that it was going to discontinue. The wars were going to discontinue, as he said, you know, when he was running. And we see that it has continued. Not only has it continued, it's gotten worse. It's been added on and everything else. So with the next president, regardless if it's Obama again or if it's a Republican or if it's Ron Paul, do we think that it's going to change or is it just going to continue? I myself personally think that it's just going to continue.
Well, I'm hoping that because of people like myself, Tesler, Mike, Doc Jones, and others out there here in BTR and others in other avenues of media, we're going to awaken up the public. And then, again, you have, like, the Hillsdale College trying to awaken the public. You've got Freedom Connection, Freedom Works. You've got a lot of organizations coming to light over the last, I would say, 3 to 5 years. And
yes,
I think the Tea Party has had a lot in helping push that door open. And I think we're getting that door open, and we're making people aware. So I'm going to be optimistic. I'm going to be hopeful. And maybe our words will stop them in their tracks and help to reverse the process. And that's what I'm praying for.
One of the concerns that I agree with Antoinette on is that when is the last time we heard Barack Obama say government's out of control? We need to give the people back their rights. How about me?
Yes.
How about any of the candidates, any of them? Who is declaring war against government? Some of these, I mean, some of the clips you hear Ronald Reagan talk about, government is the problem. In other things, you don't hear any of them say that because in many, many ways, they're all the pawn and puppet of the same enterprise.
Actually, there is a clip that is out there. I did not get it to download, but Rick Santorum took a heck of a lot of heat, and it was, I believe, last night where he said, we are in a war. Get ready to put on your uniform and fight. And he was talking about not just the war of Islam on the United States, but he was talking about the war of progressives within our society. He took a lot of heat on that, and he said it yesterday. And what's the name of what was that the press secretary, that little blonde for Bush? She criticized him, saying, "Oh, he's such a goofy, gloomy guts. He should be more optimistic." But he said it. Rick Santorum has been the only one to say it.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing: the pendulum swings here in America. I understand how Antoinette feels. And I sympathize with her, but if we look at the history of this country, the pendulum swings back and forth, and right now it's swung so far in the liberal direction, it's bound to swing back. Remember this: if I've said it once, I've said it 36 times. We as Americans, for the most part, most of us, are hardwired for one thing: freedom. Freedom. That's all we've ever known is freedom. We didn't start out as a socialist country or a country where we were taken care of by the government or where we looked to the government for all our needs and wants and desires. No, this country was founded because we distasted government, because we had enough of government. And that's how we were born. And living our lives as generation progresses, yeah, generation after generation progresses throughout the history of this great country, that's still very much a part of us. And we're going to get to the point where we're going to be fed up as a people. Finally, there'll be unity as a people where we decide that we've had enough. And that's when the pendulum will begin to swing back in the conservative direction, as it is happening right here today as we speak, as the show goes on.
I want to ask Antoinette one question, and I think she'll agree with me when she looks at it from this aspect. And Doc Jones is correct. We as Americans are hardwired for freedom. Now, some of them have given up freedom in order to get their food stamps and their welfare and their Medicaid. But when you turn around and start telling them, excuse me, you can't wear that outfit on a public street, young lady or ma'am or whatever, because it doesn't comply with our dress code. Here is a burqa. Now, how well is that going to go with? How well is that going to go with the public that follows, like Paris Hilton, or whoever the flavor of the day is, the fashion maven? And when they turn around and say, "Excuse me, that music is a little bit too radical and anti-government," but you've got a guy who can make millions off of his rap record because it is anti-social, anti-government, but he's told he can't produce it. Now he can't get his bling and his limo and his babes because he's no longer allowed to do the American dream and come from the ghetto gutter and up and become a rap million billionaire. When you start turning around and turning off the MTVs and the other stations, American Idol, and when government starts to turn this stuff off on the public, the buying public, that is when they're going to turn around and say, oh, maybe these conservatives had a point all these years. I guess we're going to have to make a stand here. Antoinette, that is soon coming.
But Annie, that's happening. That's been happening for a while. Maybe not on a large scale as that is so very noticeable, but that's been happening. I mean, you know, now the baggy pants, there's a lot of states where you get fined. You can even be jailed for pants hanging so low.
Well, I'm sorry. I don't want to see some other guy's butt cracking.
No, I don't either. Trust me.
No, I can understand.
And I'm the first one that will go to the guys and will, you know, grab them by the behind them, pull the pants. I'm like, pull up your pants, son. You know, so, but what I'm saying
has
is,
to be a public
decency
code. But I'm talking
about. Of course.
When
with the music and the dancing and things like that on stage, there have been, and I hate rap, but there have been rappers and stuff like that have been taken off stage, you know, and arrested because it's been considered derogatory. My concern is that with all of these new laws, the NDAA and the Patriot Act being extended and everything else that's going on now, where your words are being used against you even in the smallest sense, that you could end up in a prison somewhere because you opened your mouth.
Well,
so it's not necessarily that you're giving up your freedom, but it's, all right, let me censor myself so that I don't just disappear, especially if you're a parent, because, you know, you don't want to be separated from your children because you feel like you still have to protect them.
Well, no. What I'm trying to say is, as these rights are stolen from us, because they were given to us by God, and they are being stolen from us, you are going to start to see the public understanding our point of view and make the outcry. So I don't see the NDAA lasting very long. We're going to have to fight to overturn it, and I think this is the first battle cry of it. You also have also now Obama, his administration, coming out with these truth teams. And the second he started coming out with this, this came out February 12th, he said, we're going to educate and deploy these truth teams. This was picked up in this was on a website called InfoWars, but it also came up on MSNBC and Fox and ABC and so on and so forth. So the media is starting to pick this up. Mainstream media is saying, wait a minute, now you're infringing on our right of free speech. We got a problem here. What do you think?
In a lot of ways, government. Well, in a lot of ways, government's not taking anything. We're giving it to them.
That's just why I said we censor ourselves.
Yeah, well, and that's what we need to do. The bottom line is this: if you don't like rap music, don't watch it. If you don't like
I can't stand it.
Well, that's my point. But you know what? Great. Thank God for choices. Thank God for freedom of expression. Even whether it's what some people refer to as art from an artist. A lot of times we laugh at it or whatever, but you know what? So be it. But we can also do the things we can do. And the bottom line is we are giving this away. Remember, it was we the people. Most dictators have been elected. They have been voted into office. And in many, many ways, we just allowed, and just to show a reflection on how this country is kind of really gone in the wrong direction, when George Bush signed the Patriot Act, it was received with thunderous applause, and not just by government. And it clearly indicates that how we as Americans need to take back this country, and we need to do it in the same manner that the Founding Fathers basically separated from. They were determined to do whatever it takes, and that's what it's going to take. It's going to take a large number of people who will do whatever it takes. And at that point, government will stand down when they see that it's a huge, huge, huge mass amount where they feel the tension. And there may be some individual pockets of trouble, but the bottom line is that in order for us to take back and regain what we have given away, it's not just going to be easy. These are very intelligent people. These are people with unlimited resources. These are people who have already planned this out over and over and over 1,000 times.
May I interject here?
Sure,
these plans did not start in the last 5 or 10 years. These are things that have been planned out in the last 50 and 60 years. If you, it's the Sweet Barbarians, tape 2 and 3, where they were talking about this in the 60s, what they were planning for today.
Well, actually, it goes even further back, because if people remember, Woodrow Wilson was arresting people for speaking out. If anyone spoke out, Woodrow Wilson just ceremoniously threw them in jail without trial. Tesla, what's your take?
Well, I think, one of the things that everyone is talking about, of course, is the issue on what can we do with the kind of government that we have now. Now, one of your callers had made a mention that the pendulum swings the other way. And I disagree with that a little bit, and here's why. In the last 20, 40, 50 years, while the pendulum has swung, it has not swung to the right as far as it has swung to the left. In other words, if you were to take that clock and kick it back and forth, it doesn't go to the middle. It goes a little bit to the right, but then a whole lot more to the left. And that's what we're talking about here. That's what's going wrong.
What we have to do, that's you, me, everyone else there that is out there calls themselves a conservative, a constitutionalist, a libertarian. I don't care if you call yourself a peanut butter jelly sandwich. What you have to do is help us force that pendulum more and more to the right until we allow it to swing back. And we're going to have to go that extra step over until they say, all right, fine, you pushed it a little bit too far. They said, okay, fine, we'll release it. But we're not going to release all pressure on it, and we're going to have to force that arc to go down really slow. Doc Jones, what's your take on that?
Here's my point. We had the pendulum swing pretty damn far with the peanut farmer from Georgia. And then we had the pendulum swing way back the other way with that actor from California.
I don't think it swung far enough, honestly, but go ahead.
Well, you know what? I think you and Tesler may agree then, but I think that we couldn't get any more conservative with Ronald Reagan. I mean, he would, in my opinion, maybe there are some folks who are listening to the show who disagree, but I believe that Ronald Reagan was the ultimate conservative, and that he was
immigration amnesty.
Well, at some point, yeah. I mean, we're not the party of complete and utter, you know, rigidity. I mean, what we have to have some sort of a heart, some sort of compassion. I mean, come
yes.
on.
But he himself admitted that was a huge mistake, because when we screamed, "You're not doing it right," because mm-hmm. you just opened the door and you're going to get a flood, he wouldn't listen. And he didn't take that extra step to prevent that flood. So
well,
I said, you can be compassionate, but you have to be sensible about it.
He wasn't perfect, there's no doubt. But then again, you know what? Then you just made the point for Ronald Reagan, the ultimate conservative. Even conservatives make mistakes. We're not water walkers. You know, I mean, how far right are we going to go? I mean, at some point, going too far to the right is going to be just as detrimental as going too far to the left. I mean, there has to be a point where we say, this is good. This is good for us. And I believe that I will be very happy. I will be very pleased and complete. Whoever the next president is who's a Republican, who is just as good as Ronald Reagan was, will complete me. I'll be happy. He'll have me at hello. Do I need to give any more of those references to Jerry Maguire? it'll be great, because for me, to my mind, the pendulum will have swung back to the right, and that'll be good. We don't have a Ronald Reagan, which is why the majority of the Republican Party are not satisfied with the field we have right now.
No, they're not. And people have been. I've been hearing a lot of grumblings about a brokered convention, and I think the GOP mainstream, you know, the fat cats that are trying to control the party, are really frightened. Because right now there's a lot of delegates that have come up forward saying, hey, listen, you know, I was a Romney delegate, but I'm going to openly state I'm switching my vote to, and they're either switching to Gingrich or Santorum. And I think that is frightening them, and a lot of them, you hear a lot of them going, maybe it's time for a brokered. This is going to be one heck of a zoo when that party convention hits in August.
The worst thing that could happen is that kind of convention. It's the worst thing that could happen to the conservatives. Absolutely.
Why? It brought Ronald Reagan forward.
The worst thing that could happen. Here's why. Number one, why does the press seem to support it so much? Why? Have you noticed the press? Convention, brokered. Yeah, yeah. We love this idea. Why?
Because it sells.
What?
It sells. It gets the public interested. It sells. It's airtime.
No. They have an agenda. They have an agenda, and they want some moderate, like Mitt Romney, to win that convention. No. The worst thing that could happen, the best thing that could happen, is that we finally win somebody who is a real conservative, either Rick Santorum or Newt. Because if we can't get one of those guys in this, then we're dead meat as conservatives in that convention in Tampa. No, I don't like the idea of a brokered convention. That, I think, would be the worst thing for conservatives.
Well, wait a minute. Ho. When we're talking conservative, everybody, this is for all the whole panel. Are we talking conservative monetarily, meaning like we don't overspend, or conservative as in the sense of where you don't support gay marriage or, you know, that type of stuff. I mean, there are several different forms of conservative. There is a zero conservative running for office who says rescind the Patriot Act in full. And now, did Warren Harding, didn't they have a brokered convention?
Yes. And I believe Ronald Reagan was also a brokered one, too, wasn't he?
You know, I'm not a historian. That's why I was asking.
I looked at that. Yeah, they did. And yeah, they did. And in fact, the election before Kennedy was also broken when Kennedy was attempting to get on the VP. When Kennedy was attempting to get on the VP, get the VP slot, and he lobbied hard for that on a brokered convention on the floor, and he ultimately failed in that effort, and then ran the next time around. You know. What we need simply is a Ronald Reagan contrast here, because history, as we all know, history plays itself out over and over and over again. It's almost amazing that it does.
It used to be every 20 years.
History
repeated itself every 20 years.
We had our Carter. Then we had our Reagan. We have our Carter again, only this time on steroids. What we need is our Reagan. It's just as simple as that, really.
But we don't have him. And this is the only reason why. Now, people are saying that Newt or that Santorum, you know what? Here's the thing. Reagan had charisma. Charisma gets you what? People listen to you. No matter what the hell you're saying, you could be reading the phone book if you've got charisma, and people are going to listen to you. Newt doesn't have it. I've said it, and I'll say it 1,000 times. He's got the talk. He's got the facts. He's got the history. He's got all of that. But he doesn't have any charisma, and neither does Santorum. You got to have it in order to get people to listen to you, to like you, and to want to go vote for you. It's just that simple.
That issue came up a lot, I believe, when George Herbert Walker Bush ran against Mike Dukakis, most of the people thought that both candidates kind of were, more like mannequins. They were more resumes or office-type people where they could run an office, but they couldn't interview a person and communicate with them, I think. But go ahead. I'm sorry. Whoever I interrupted, I apologize.
No, you're correct. You know, there is a lack of charisma between all these candidates, and I'm including Ron Paul in it. And I think, like I said, there was a brokered convention, I remember, with Reagan. And you were correct with Harding. There was a brokered convention. There was a brokered convention with the Democrats that brought Kennedy forward. I don't think it's as dangerous. It's only dangerous to the establishment GOP because they can't get the man they're pushing, Romney, forward. And mainstream media is trying to scare everyone by putting forward the brokered convention and saying, oh, it's going to be horrible, this is going to be this and that, because they want Romney. They want to scare the public, and they want to cow us. So if you look at it, how mainstream media will gain, they will gain by forcing us to get frightened and cow us and then back off. So I think a brokered convention may be the very thing we need to get a dark horse forward and get everyone behind the person.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Consider this, if you will. Ronald Reagan's first debate with Walter Mondale. Ronald Reagan was prepped with the facts. He had the figures. He had the numbers. And he had all this stuff in his head. In that debate, he looked like a feeble old man. He looked like he didn't have any idea what the hell was going on. And
but he learned from that.
And he learned because, you know what, Nancy Reagan told his handlers, don't ever do that again. Allow my husband to be my husband. Let him be who he is. He went out in the next debate with all those facts and figures and all that talking points, and he was just relaxed and cool. And it was match, game, set, game over. Boom. You don't need Mitt. Mitt has charisma. You know what? But I would rather have Gingrich. I would rather have Santorum. Mitt's not the man.
But the thing is, Mitt has the best chance of winning because he's the only one in that crowd who has even a bit of charisma to get people to actually listen to him speak.
Now, this is true. Having seen him in person, and people know that I did interview him on this show back in November, he does. He does have that charisma. And if his handlers back off and allow him to go forward in public and speak like the way I have seen him speak, he wows the crowd. And I've seen people that have held Romney signs, you know, in the crowd, and all of a sudden they'd fold the sign up and put it down on the ground because they said, well, maybe this guy just changed my mind. If his handlers back off and do like Reagan's handlers did, allow him free reign, you know, he's going to do so much better. But instead they tell him, oh, you got to go after this person for that and that person. No. Let Newt do what Newt does best. If he's not on the attack on someone, he is phenomenal. Just let him speak truly. As a matter of fact, I've got a clip here I wanted to play, and this is at one of his speeches. This was just, he was one-on-one, like almost a town hall type of thing with the crowd, and this was just this week. Let me play this one because I thought it was absolutely funny, and this is something I also had a stack of information on. Let me play this here.
I'm just trying to the liberals crazy. How dare we go out and drive vehicles bigger than their bicycles? But I'm trying to get across to them a simple principle, and I'll let you judge whether or not this is right. I have nothing against people who want to go out. You know, the Volt is an interesting experimental car. The average family that buys it earns $170,000 a year. And this is Obama's idea of populism. And in his new budget, he wants to increase the amount given to every Volt buyer to $10,000. Which is an amount which allowed a lot of people to buy a decent second-hand car, but it wouldn't be an Obama car. But here's my point. You can't put a gun rack in a Volt. If you go to Newt.org, you'll also see tax policies to get us to full employment. You're going to see a program of regulatory reform to get us to full employment. I believe, just as Reagan created 16 million new jobs in his presidency, I believe with your help, if we can get a Congress willing to work with us, that we can create full employment in America. Our goal should be to bring people back into the workforce and to get down to 4% real unemployment, with everybody who wants a job getting a job. There are practical things we can do to achieve that. Now, these are big changes.
Now, you notice how he is able to interact and communicate with the common man. And this is something, I know, Doc Jones, you love your Romney. Romney's unable to do this. And Newt could take the issue like the Volt, and would Romney think about a gun rack in the back of a Volt? You know, I make the joke. I saw someone at the Volt the other day, and she's putting her kids and the groceries in there, and I said, so where do you put the family dog? You know, these cars make no sense. I'm not even going to go into the full Volt. But he could take the issue and just drop it down so the average person understands it.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing, Southern. What's the difference between Newt and Chris Christie? Very little, except that Chris does exactly what you just said. He talks like a normal person about normal things that we can all relate to, and everybody wants to listen to him because they can't wait to hear what he's going to say next.
Well,
go ahead.
I would say the main difference between Chris Christie and Newt Gingrich would never have flown the flag at half-mast for Whitney Houston. He would never have disgraced the military and heroes of our nation.
No. We flew the flag at half-mast. We flew the flag at half-mast for Frank Sinatra, and nobody complained.
Who was governor at the time for that?
It doesn't matter. Nobody. I am Frank's biggest fan. There's no bigger fan in the world than Frank, besides his own daughter.
I would not have condoned that either.
But,
But nobody, how many people can you recall when he died it complained about him being the flag of being half mast for him and all the other people that it's been done for? John Wayne, 1979, I was in boot camp the day he died. The flag was at half mast on all military installations, including where I was.
There's a big difference. All the people that Robin is mentioning were not junkies. Okay?
Oh, come on.
That's what we had right there.
The junkie?
Were not
at all?
Come on. She was no person
all
to
right, all right.
hold
all
up
right.
to.
Well,
absolutely
Frank Sinatra
not
was
people.
A Frank
not
Sinatra was a woman. Frank Sinatra was a womanizer and a cheat and a world-class bastard who took a piss on another man's grave because he didn't like him. Frank Sinatra was an ass of biblical proportions. John Wayne, I can tell you some things about John Wayne that'll curl your hair, too.
Either way, this is kind of irrelevant in a sense to where, flying the flag at half-mast, okay, Chris Christie did it. So be it. We disagree. That has nothing to do with the topic at hand, gentlemen. And, I mean, Frank Sinatra for years was involved in organized crime, blah, blah. Who cares? I mean, okay, you
well,
know,
that's
Chris Christie did it. Well, but
it was all wrong. For
when,
all three, it's wrong.
When once has any of these candidates, and, Doc, you know, with all due respect, you're yielding to the rhinos because Mitt is one of them. When has Mitt said we need our rights back? I mean, come
you fought for constitutional
rights, but you're saying
well, no doubt. My point, you know what? I agree, and I'm sorry to interrupt, Mike, but let me get in here because I know the show's about to end soon. I don't want, you know what? I'm a smart guy, like everybody else is, but you guys who want Santorum and anybody else besides Mitt Romney. They don't have the tools to win. They don't have it. They're not going to have it. And if I have to settle for Mitt, like I settled for my last girlfriend, so be it. I mean, so be it. I mean, these guys don't have it. And it's not my fault that the Santorum is boring and bland and that Newt is prickly and mean-spirited. Nobody and very few people besides hardcore conservatives are going to vote for him or listen to him. Now, I don't have anything to do with that. I just want to vote for the guy who's going to beat the guy we have in office right now. And if it turns out to be my dog, Nick, then that's who I'm going to vote for. Or you. Or Southern.
I'm going to say this because you're saying that they don't have the tools. Whoever our nominee is, whoever comes out of the convention, whether it's brokered or it's not, you're going to find Republicans, conservatives, and so on and so forth are going to get 100% behind. And I think we're going to absolutely flabbergast the progressives on the other side because they're not going to expect it. They're going to expect a lot of people to jump off into a third-party candidate. And I don't think that's going to happen because it's going to be ABO vote, anyone but Obama vote. And they know a third-party candidate has no way, has even less of a chance of becoming president compared to a Republican nominee. And I think you're going to find a lot of third-party people are going to realize that when it comes down to November, when they have to make that hard choice and pull the lever or push the button or whatever they're doing to vote, they're going to realize that, hey, if I vote third party, then in essence I will be voting for Obama. And I think you're going to find, Doc, that they're going to be absolutely amazed at the actual turnout. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. You know, but there have been those who have suggested that I am not a real conservative and that I don't have true conservative values and views because I support Mitt Romney. You know what? The truth is, on a roulette wheel, red wins 60% more than black. I'm not going to roll the damn wheel for black. I'm going to roll for red. I'm going to roll for the one that's going to win. I want to win. That's it. And I may have just screwed that up, but you know what I mean.
The bottom line is I understand what you're saying, Doc, but do you really win is my question. Do we really win? No, we ultimately lose. It's a head-on collision,
well,
either going at 80 miles an hour or 60 miles an hour. Mitt is one of them, like it or not like it. He is not a Ronald Reagan. You said great things about Reagan, but Mitt has nothing in common with Ronald Reagan other than the fact that they both used to be Democrats and now they're Republican.
Okay.
All right, we're down to our last 5 minutes, so we're going to do some closing statements here. Tesla just gave me a link to his latest show coming up on February 26th. Tesla, you want to do a closing comment? We're going to go through all of them, and then we're going to close out the show.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Annie. I've got a special show coming up this Sunday. My special guest is Michael Boris, from Real Catholic TV. Now, if you haven't seen his videos, you need to I can't remember the name of the site, but he has almost 10 million hits of his videos and on YouTube, and they're well worth listening to. And we'll be seeing him this Sunday at 7 p.m.
Okay, great. Antoinette, you're such a sweetheart.
Oh, thank you. You are also.
I don't feel that
me.
We were jumping on you. Just you. Were, I'm so
no,
glad
no,
you joined
no,
it.
No, I didn't.
Okay. You want to
no,
do a closing
I don't
statement?
Feel that way at all. Yes. For everyone who thinks that a vote for Ron Paul is a waste, and I used to feel that way when you go to vote for third party, that was a waste of a vote. But I think that as extreme as the times have been in these last 12 years, when you look at both parties and what both parties has represented, and I'm talking about the Republicans and the Democrats, that you see that they're both the same. So, you know, maybe now people really are seriously looking at an alternative to what is considered the norm, because we see what the norm has given us.
Okay. Doc?
Well, you know, I agree with Antoinette. I do indeed. I agree with Tesla. I agree with Cool Mike. I agree with you. We need for the pendulum to swing all the way back. And for that, we need a true conservative. We need a Newt Gingrich. We need a Rick Santorum to run and win. However, I just don't think they're going to win. I don't think they have the tools necessary to beat Barack Obama. And if I have to accept Reagan Light in order to get this guy out of office, so be it.
Well, I am absolutely agreeing with you on that one. Unfortunately, Tesla's call has just dropped, and I'm sorry about that, Tesla. I did want to get a closing statement from you, and someone just kicked me out of the chat room. Socialism.
I'm still here.
I just got
cool
kicked out
Mike.
Of the chat room. Oh, my
cool Mike, did you do that?
Antoinette, innocent,
hi,
good old little Catholic boy like me. Come
oh,
on
man.
Now.
We got socialism.
No, I was only joking with
hey,
you here.
Tesla's behind everything bad on BT. Remember, he's like the black sheep of our little family. But, you know, Doc, you bring up, Doc brought
Tesla.
Up a good point, and I will yield to that. You know, is Mitt Romney better than Obama, period? I don't think that's even in question. But, you know, the bottom line is that in a discussion of politics, we all have our own flavors, just like soda pop or women or guys or whatever it may bring. And what we need to stand tall on is we need to hold whoever is in there to our constitutional values, our constitutional rights, and lower taxes. I don't like it when I hear Newt or anyone else talk about jobs, because that means government interferes where it doesn't belong. It's no different than what is the unions doing at the federal level. A union is decided between the owner of the company and his workers. It has nothing to do with any branch of government. When does it get screwed up or organized crime or trouble is when the feds step in. And it's the same manner. You need to restore democracy, let business conduct business as business, and when the government stays out of it, business thrives. When it sticks its nose in it, these are the things that happen. And that, as they say from my end, is a wrap.
Okay. I want to thank everyone that has been in the chat room. I'm putting up the link to our next show, which will be this Friday with Cool Mike and I. And I think we're going to touch on Islam and Iran. There's a lot of stuff that I wanted to get to today, and unfortunately I wasn't able to. I want to thank all of our call-in guests. And Doc Jones, you got a show coming up. We've got Antoinette. Thank you so much. We had Dirty White Track. Evelyn Adams, a new person in our chat, want to thank. Flyover Territory, he's got an excellent show here also on BTR. I want to thank Riff Raff. I Vote Obama. Oh, we always love him coming in the room. Rick Santamoro, who's also a new person in our chat, want to thank him. Rick Below. I'm sorry, I may be pronouncing this wrong. He put a link up to his, which is Red, Right, and Blue. I want to thank Rick Rosato for parking his tank here, and Sandman, and Tesla, of course. He put his show up for the 26th, and White Punk on Dope. I want to thank everyone for joining us, and I hope you come back with us on Friday. And we'll be touching on, like I said, Islam, its attack on us, female ninjas, and Israel and Iran. So thank you, everyone, and have a great week. God bless.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Good night. Good afternoon.
Love you, Antoinette.
I love you, too, Mike. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Bye.
If you find yourself in trouble, count on me, my friend. Get right up in trouble.
You've been listening to Southern Sense Blog Talk Radio. Producer and your hostess extraordinaire is Ann Ubelis. The theme music, American Stand Up, is written and performed by Don Fortney. For more from Don, check out his webpage, teapartymusic.webs.com. Southern Sense is a proud member of Ghost Fighter Radio and Freedom Media Network. Southern Sense is common sense. Take it out, Don.
American.
Again.